Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Well, welcome once again. We are in a vital information mode. In fact, somebody said, don't preach sermonettes or you'll get Christianettes. So you're going to get the real deal today, hopefully, because our subject is so vitally important, and it's today how moral intelligence affects educational intelligence. So let's talk about that for a moment. If you educate a common thief, you end up with a blue-collar thief. If you further educate the blue-collar thief, you'll end up with a white-collar thief. And on it goes, because unless education has a moral intelligence factor to it, we just empower evil with whatever form of education is used. So I want us to get really back to the beginning. So the first thing I want you to catch today is simply this, that everyone belongs to God, the Father, the Creator, the Designer of life. Everybody belongs to Him, right? So let's look at some scriptures that verify that very truth. Know ye not that the Lord, He is God. Now watch this. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We've got this mistaken idea that God made some people, and people have been making people ever since. Nothing could be further from the truth. The truth of the matter is that God is the maker of us all. Let's look at another scripture. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He is absolutely inescapable. Everybody is connected to God, whether they realize it now or not. Everybody belongs to God. God is the Father, the Creator, the Designer of life and of each person. Look at this. For God made the world and all things, look at that now, all things that are therein. Seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, doesn't dwell in a brick or a piece of gold, right? Neither is He worshipped with men's hands, right? As though He needed anything, seeing that, watch this now, He, God, giveth to all life and breath and all the things. He is the giver. Watch here now. And He hath made of one blood all the nations. Whoa, got that? All the nations of men that dwell on the face of the earth. There is no difference. He made us all one blood. There is no room in God's way of thinking for the idea of elevating one culture, or rather not one culture, but one race above another. Absolutely, racism is no place, because look at this now. Here's the answer. God hath made one blood all nations to dwell on the earth. And He hath determined the times appointed before and bounds of their habitation. And this is the hope that God has, that they should seek the Lord. Now, watch this next phrase. Kind of really important. If happily they might feel after Him. Look at this now. And find Him. Though He's not very far away from any one of us. This is a vital truth. So let me ask you a question. Do you feel after God? Are you happy to feel after God? Do you want to find Him? Do you want to connect? Do you want to be in a relationship with this great Creator, Father? What a personality He has. And it's interesting because the scripture says He's not far from any one of us. Let's go to the next verse. For in Him we live. Got that? In Him we live and move, and have our being. You couldn't exist without God. He authored you. He fathered you. Watch this now. Designed you. Ah. Remember, maybe we haven't got to that yet, but someday we will. That he embedded in you when you were still in your mother's womb, what we call ENA, embedded natural ability. Now watch here. In him we live and move and have our being. As certain one of your poets have said, look at this, for we are his offspring. Oh, let's make man in our own image. You are the offspring of God. And then the scripture goes on and says, for as much then as ye are the offspring of God. Everyone belongs to God, the Father, the Creator, and the Designer of life. You got to get that straight at the beginning. We belong to Him. Now, I want to take you a step further now, because everyone who belongs to God can only get here one way, and that is that they are familied into life. And I'm not sure that this word is even in the dictionary. I just made it up, maybe. I don't know. Everyone belongs to God is familied into life. For lo, the children are the heritage of God. They are God's. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. You only get here through family, God's design. There are no baby factories. I suppose he could have had them. It would be very nice. He could have had some kind of a machine that you dump protein in and some water and a whole bunch of other things and chomp them all together, mix them out, and out comes the baby. I suppose there could have been baby factories, but they're not. Everybody that comes here gets familied here. It's the only way. In fact, take a look at this. This is really kind of cool. God created the family to provide, look at this now, the maximum love, okay, and support and morality and example that one can imagine. Family is God's big idea. And you didn't get here without being familied here. He's the God. He's the Creator. He's the Designer. But your arrival here was because you were familied here. You came as a result of a father and mother union, and God put you inside that baby's body. And you got family here. Here you are. How great is that? You should say, yeah, I'm here. Now, since you are family here, the next step in understanding this is to grasp this idea that fathers are to produce mightiness in children. They are to be the leaders. Watch here now. And the educators, you're going to see in a moment. Watch here now. For that same scripture goes on and says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Those children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man, and he's going to project them, shoot them, if you please, into the future. That's the father's job. You got families here, and the father's side, his job is to deal with the children and make them mighty. And so comes the scripture and says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full. Now, a quiver of arrows is usually 8. I think it's 11 if it's a military. Now watch this. Because your children were familied here, and because fathers are designed to produce mightiness in them, look at this. Those children shall not be ashamed. Whoa. but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, in ancient times, the gate was the control center of a city. You couldn't get in without going through the gate. It was where taxes were collected, and this is where product was inspected when it was brought in. It's where you had to legally qualify to come in. The gates were like the governmental, physical governmental position. And so to get into the city, you had to come through the gates. And there will be enemies in the gates. They could not get into the city without coming through the gates. Then children that are raised strong and mighty by their fathers, the scripture says of them that they shall speak in the gates. They shall not be ashamed, and they will deal. Oh, let's go back. Let's go back and take a look at this. They will speak with the enemy. They're going to deal with the enemies in the political center. That sounds like a really good idea. The control center. So we have them in our country, America. Mayors, city councils, they control, they're in charge of the city. We have county officials, we have state officials, we have federal officials. And so the analogy is simple. It's like the gates of ancient times, and the children that are raised properly by their fathers, sent like mighty arrows into the future, will not be ashamed. They'll be able to stand up to the enemies and make sure that nothing goes on in the city that shouldn't take place. Now, next step, I want you to catch this. Fathers produce mightiness in children by one mechanism, by proper education. Now we're getting to the subject of the day. Watch here. Education. Definition, the process of bringing up a child with reference to forming character, shaping manners, and behavior. That comes from the Oxford English Dictionary. Let's look at another one here. The systematic instruction, teaching, or training in various academic and non-academic subjects given to or received by a child, and typically in a school. But God puts the responsibility of educating the children on the fathers. So let's look further. By the way, another part of the Oxford English Dictionary here. It is the course of scholastic instruction that a person receives in his or her own lifetime. You know, what's really interesting is that Einstein said the purpose of education is not knowledge, but learning how to think. Big deal. So fathers are to produce mightiness, the strength, in children by proper education. Let's look at the scripture. So ye fathers, this is who is supposed to do this. The responsibility of education is on the father. Now watch here. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want you to see this clearly. Fathers, do not provoke your children. They will not be properly educated if you provoke them. Well, the question is then, what does it mean to provoke? To provoke means to incite, right? Urge or rouse. Stimulate to action. And then the scripture says, goes on and says, don't provoke them. And don't provoke them, look at this, to wrath. Don't incite your children to anger. Watch this. Here's a definition of wrath. Bring up your children, all right, but don't provoke them to wrath, anger, or resentment, exasperation. Oh, not good. Instead, bring them up in the nurture. So let's take a look at this word, nurture, now. What does that mean? See, because fathers are to produce the mightiness in their children, and they do it by the educational process, right? So the educational process specified by God is really simple. Don't provoke them. Don't incite them to anger and wrath. And instead, bring them up. See, we've always thought that was a mother's job, haven't we? No. It's dad's job. Bring them up in the nurture. Let's look at the definition of nurture here. It means to feed, to support, to rear or raise to maturity, right? Now watch this now. To caringly encourage growth and development. Oh my goodness. That's the task of fathers in making their children might. Don't provoke them. Don't provoke them to wrath. Instead, bring them up in nurture. Let's look at another definition of the word nurture. It means to treasure them by fostering and cultivating them. My goodness. So bring them up in the nurture. And then if we go back to the scripture, there's another thing of how fathers are going to make their children mighty. And that is to bring them up, not just in nurture, but look at this now, in the admonition. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. The word admonition means giving loving and authoritative advice, warning, reproof, censure, or reprimand. My goodness. So, however, it says the admonition of the Lord. Okay, it's a defining then of this loving and authoritative advising of children, which is the father's responsibility. And so, watch this now, because when we say it's the admonition of the Lord, it means we're to bring them up as taught and exemplified by the Lord Jesus, by the admonition of the Lord. The instructions that the Lord gives ought to be the instructions that fathers give to their children. Don't miss this. Fathers are to produce mightiness in their children. And they produce that mightiness through proper education, bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and not provoking them to wrath. And in fact, let's look at one more scripture about this. And this is a really great one. Train up a child in the way it should go. Train up. This is the father's job, the book of Proverbs, right? Chapter 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll stick by that because you trained him right. You educated him properly. I heard somebody look at this verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and go that way yourself. That's pretty good advice, because you see, children learn not so much from the instruction as from the example. So train up a child in the way it should go. And so this is the responsibility of fathers to produce mightiness in their children by education. Now we're turning the corner. I don't want you to miss this. Proper education has moral intelligence at the core. Proper education has moral intelligence, must have moral intelligence at the core. You remember I mentioned at the beginning, if you educate a common thief, you get a blue-collar thief, and if you educate him further, you become a white-collar thief. And let me tell you something, if you educate a white-collar thief, you're in danger of creating thievery at the highest levels that affect international manipulation. Yeah. So, education at the core must have moral intelligence. So let's take a look at this word, education. It is the process of bringing up a child. With reference to, look at this now, forming character, shaping manners, and behavior. And that is exactly. So the question now becomes, how does a father educate his child properly if moral intelligence must be at the core? So comes the scriptures to tell us the answer to that. Let's take a look. And this might be a bit of a surprise. You may not see the relationship at first, but you'll get it. Here's how you teach your child to have moral intelligence. You teach him this. Are you ready? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And you might say, well, what is loving God got to do with moral intelligence? You see, the fact is that when people reject God, they reject the ideas of God, the thoughts of God, the values of God, the standards of God, the smartness of God, the wisdom of God. They reject his understanding. They think they're smarter than God. And when it comes to morals, nobody is smarter than God. And at the core, this condition of love is a big deal. Now, let's go back to that scripture. So we're going to teach the child moral intelligence at the core level. And it begins with, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Now, watch this. And these words, which we're about to get, which I command thee this day. This is not an option. It's a command. They have to get into the heart, not just the head. They shall be in thine heart. And so, okay, let me talk about that just for a moment. They have to be in your heart, Father. You can't go artificially about this task. You must be authentic. And so this moral intelligence that is at the core must be embodied, not just a academic mental process, but it's got to be really in your heart. Because then you'll be able to follow up and do the following. Here it is. And thou shalt teach them diligently, whoa, unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them. Now watch. This is where education really takes place. Thou shalt talk of them when you're sitting in the house, or when you're walking by the way, or when you're lying down, or when you rise up, when you get up in the morning, or when you get down at night. Yep, you get to see them all. Now watch this. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. He said, never lose track of the moral instructions. Now watch this. And thou shalt write them on the posts of thine house and on the gates. So you should have signs everywhere. So when children look at their wall, let the artwork have a message to it that has to do with, well, in fact, I'll tell you what, let's look at a couple. I just threw a couple in. Here's one. All things work together for good to them that love God. Can you imagine the impact? That's God. Put it as a sign. Put it somewhere in your house. Let everybody who comes there see it. Right? Look at this one. Be still and know that I am God. You can have all kinds of these. This one is great. What does the Lord require of thee but to walk justly and love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. Oh, great signs. Come to me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest. And I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of good and not for evil. Woe, to give you a hope. Can you imagine how these truths must be taught to your children, and we should post them everywhere we can. And we should talk of them when we walk by the way, when we sit in the house, when we rise up, when we lie down. Nobody is positioned better to educate with moral intelligence a child than a father. Now watch this. Because fathers must control any and every form of further education by anybody and everybody. The father must control the education. He is delegated, designated by God to do this task. Okay? So we go to the scripture. I say that an heir, as long as he's a child, he doesn't have any more benefits than a servant does. What? But now watch this. But he is under tutors and governors, watch it now, until the time appointed of the father. The father must control, he must be the one who allows, permits, vets any further educators as to whether they can even have exposure to his child, his son, his daughter. How else can a father know that the education that son or daughter is getting is got moral intelligence at the core? Ooh. Are we really willing to turn our children over to educators to be discipled in philosophies that are wrong? Approving of sin that is destructive? Fathers must control any and every form of further education by anybody and everybody else. Whoever's going to have influence on my child must get the approval of the father, for he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the father. Here's a translation of that, by the way. As long as the heir is a minor, he has no advantage over the slave. Though legally he owns the entire inheritance, he is subject to tutors and administrators until whatever date the father has set for his emancipation. Fathers must control the education. Now watch, because we're moving. I hope you're catching this, and step by step we're building towards understanding the ultimate solution of how moral intelligence must affect education. Okay? So this next one I want you to get is that fathers and mothers, collectively, they must never allow immoral educators. Oh my goodness. Must never allow immoral educators. Let's take a scripture. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, his children, or his assets. Watch this now. Except he will first bind the strong man, and then he can spoil his goods. Fathers are those strong men. And nobody can come in and mess with your children or your assets unless he can get the father spoiled out of the way, if you please. Now watch this, because this is vitally important. And by the way, I just want to say thank you again for your interest in these great subjects of life. Because right now, the very future of your children could very well depend on how you grasp the importance of how moral intelligence must affect education. So let's take a look, because we're warned. There were false prophets among the people, and there shall be false teachers among you. Oh my goodness, they are here. Let's go back to the scripture. There shall be false prophets, predictors. Hey, son, if you follow me, if you listen to my instruction, this will happen to you. And they predict and prophesy falsely, ooh, to your children. They're trying to tell your child what's a better way to live and how to be more successful than what the father. Ah. Now look at this now. And there shall be false teachers among you. False teachers among you. Now watch what they do. They shall bring in damnable heresies. Damning ideas to your children. As scripture goes on and says, even denying the Lord that brought them out. Watch this now. Because here's the problem. Let me back up again. False predictors, false teachers, and they're going to bring in privately, don't miss this. They privately shall bring in damn. They're not going to publicize them, particularly to you, the parent. They're going to try and get your children out of your home and away from your influence in a private, different environment in which they can bring in damnable heresies. Oh. Now here's the problem. And many of your children shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken. Let's just deal with this first part. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious ways. Educators having access to your children, your young people, your teenagers, are going to bring in damnable heresies, and they're going to teach them someplace other than in front of you, privately. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now watch this. Pernicious means extremely severe or harmful, life-threatening, fatal, dangerous, destructive, pernicious ways. And in fact, look at this. Evil in a gradual or insidious manner. What are they intending to do? They're intending to teach damnable heresies. That is, that which has no moral intelligence to it. That's what's damning. Yeah. And many will follow their pernicious ways. Well, let's just take a look at some of the current pernicious ways. Let me mention a few. It is pernicious, to isolate from parents. At our local college here, you can't go the first year of college without being resident on the campus. It's the rule. What's going on? We live just down the street from the college, and why are we forcing our children to they have to live on campus and can't live at home anymore? And I'm telling you, the answer is because the educators, for whatever reasons, and we'll get to some of their motives perhaps later, want to isolate from parents. It's the place for propagandizing takes place, pernicious ways. It's where there is a dumbing down. They don't want the kids to think for themselves. They want to. In fact, they want to brain drain. So watch this now. They'll come up with a curriculum, and they're going to grade you, and your passage or your obtaining of a degree is going to be based on whether you can regurgitate what they taught you. Now, just because you read a book and remember what the book said does not make a person intelligent. It just makes him a real good plagiarist. Go to college, go to class, and you have to regurgitate, if you want to pass the exam, what the professor told you. It doesn't make you intelligent, it makes you a plagiarist. You're really good at plagiarizing what the professor told you to say was true. So there's a dumbing down. We have the government takeover of education, which is really a government takeover of our children. You see, the government's not interested, are they? The government's not interested in moral intelligence. We already know that. 1962, 1963, the Supreme Court says no more. You can't say thou shalt not steal in the classroom. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. They took the Ten Commandments out. They took out the moral core out of the educational system. Banned it, if you please. They banned it. The government has no interest in the moral intelligence of your child. And to turn our kids, our children, over to them. There are lots more pernicious ways. I'll mention a couple of them. The devaluation of human life. Tragic. Pornographic sex education. Telling children they can have an alternative lifestyle. We have. Can you believe? Children being taught that they could be a different gender than they are at a very young age. That, my friend, is the personification of perniciousness. Pushing drugs to children in the name of medical need, leaving them zombied for life. Imagine the legalization of pedophilia. That's what's coming. They are decreasing the laws and the consequences now. They want to get the age of consent down, and they're going to come up with an argument why it's a loving act for a father to have a sexual relationship with his daughter. This is what's coming because we've allowed them to teach pernicious ways, damnable heresies. So let's go back to Scripture. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Look at this. And by reason of whom the truth shall be evil spoken of. These false educators, these crooked educators, these blaspheming educators, these non-morally intelligent educators are going to speak evil of the truth to your children. And that's why parents must never allow immoral educators to have exposure to their children. So, what does it mean that they will speak evil instead of truth? It means deception in place of the truth. So we could spend so much time on this, but let me just name a few. The promotion of atheism. Can you imagine the implications of this? There is no God. A damnable, there's a creation, but there's no creator. It's just an accident. There's a pen, but there's no pen maker. There's an automobile, but there's no manufacturer. The truth will be evil spoken of. The promotion of atheism. The promotion of UNESCO, the United Nations Education, Science, and watch this now, because you say, well, You know, what's wrong with that? It's simply this. This has a political thing to it. Here it is. Our Constitution, our bylaws, our Declaration of Independence says all men are created. Ooh. Created equal. Watch now. All men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator. Ooh. And now we're going to let our children be subjected to damnable heresies, and men or women called professors, the elite supposedly, will speak evil of the truth. You see, United Nations doesn't hold at its core the same value we do in America. It's what made America distinctly different. And now we're joining up with international organizations that speak evil of the truth and propose. And so what goes with that? It goes with that is the rewriting of history. They're going to tell a different story now. They have to destroy the Declaration of Independence. They have to destroy our documents. They will contradict them. In order to do that, they're going to have to change the history books and tell a different story. That's why parents must never allow immoral educators. They will teach eugenics and genetic engineering, and they will teach in the college that liberty really isn't liberty, it's license. You can do what you want. That's not liberty. Liberty is not the right to do what you want to do. Liberty is having the power to do what you ought to do. So you see, my friends, this is reason. Watch here now. The parents must never allow immoral educators, because our children may follow their pernicious ways, and of whom the ways of truth shall be evil spoken of. Here's their technique. Watch this now. And through covetousness. Oh my goodness. Through covetousness. They shall with, look at this, tricky, feigned words. They're going to make merchandise of you. They're going to put down anybody who holds those old-fashioned ideas. The moral intelligent ideas, right? And they're in big trouble, by the way, whose judgment now a long time lingers not, and their damnation. They are the consequences to these people. They must be warned. That's really what we must be doing. We must be warned them. Who? These ones who chiefly walk after the flesh. In the lust, they create sensuality, uncleanness. Watch this now. They create uncleanness, and lust is a fair game and encouraged. Come on campus, live on campus, and have a good time. Forsake moral intelligence. Join the club. Join the crowd. That's why, you know, the scripture says, thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil. Just because the multitude is doing doesn't make it right. They walk after the flesh and uncleanness. And watch this now. They despise government. Ooh. Presumptuous are they. They think they know everything. Self-willed, got their own narcissistic agenda. And look at this, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. My goodness. Parents must never allow immoral educators. Now, the present educational system in this United States of America was very predictable. Here's what God says. Thy teachers have transgressed against me. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, logical, sensible, sound, watch this now, morally intelligent doctrine. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears. They want teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. Not what they should hear, what they want to hear. And look at this now. Because they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, stories, not true stories, not facts. So make sure. Number 9, stay alert to the education that lacks moral intelligence. Fathers, stay in charge. I'm not sure I know how to handle all of this myself, because as I view the present cultural condition, 42% of fathers are not even in the homes anymore. They have gotten them out. They've destroyed the fathers. The fathers are no longer there, and they're not functional as the educators. They're not watching over the education of their children. It's like they brought these children to the world, and they'll loose them now to the wolves. Oh, my God. They've not only, you have to ask it like, how do they get the fathers out of the homes? Well, there's a lot of answers to that, but a couple that come to me while I'm speaking with you. Supreme Court said a man has a right to be happy. He can desert his wife, and he can desert his children if he wants to, because he has a right to be happy. So we took away the consequences. We did away with marriage as a covenant. Till death do us part. Remember that? Not that way anymore. Till divorce do us part. And so a man can get captured by some other beauty and just desert the kids. 42% of children in America right now have no father physically in their home. That leaves 58% that may be in the home, but are they functional? The question are they watching over the education of their children? Are they educating their children in morally intelligent ways? Or have we turned them over to the wolves and let them, oh, the consequences, my friends, my consequences. So how shall I close today with you? It will be to see if I can increase your personal appreciation for moral intelligence as the core of education, and as the core way in which fathers, with the help of their wives, mothers, can build mighty children. So let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. Evil men, they don't understand how to adjudicate. They don't understand judgment. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. I'm telling you, you cannot be intelligent educationally without moral intelligence. Look at these scriptures. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Because thy testimonies are my meditation. Oh my goodness. Smart. Watch this now. Well, let me save it for a moment. I'll get it back to it. Look at the scriptures. I understand more than the ancients, the older people, because I keep thy precepts. I'm going by the book. I'm going by the moral intelligence embedded in God and His Word. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser, look at this now, wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. There is no enemy you face, no devastation, there's nothing you can face that if you have commandments of God, you will know exactly how to deal with them. You'll never be a victim, but always a victor. So that's why the David said this, how sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Thou through thy precepts, or rather through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Oh, my dear friends, this is the place for hatred. Hate that which is false. For thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. These admonitions are so important. In fact, let me give you another one. Here's what it says. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. I'm never going to leave this stuff. I'm never going to quit the essence, the core of real education, which is moral intelligence. I'm going to keep them forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. See, you can never run a good race on the wrong track. And now the psalmist says, Lord, it's time for thee to work. For they, the educators, have made void thy law. They've taken it out of the curriculum. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above 24 karat gold, right? I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul doth keep them. For the entrance of thy word, it giveth understanding. It giveth light, and it gives understanding to the simple. So in closing, may I just tell you one last sentence. I learned this a long time ago. Here it is. I would rather have a knowledge of the Bible without an education than an education without a knowledge of the Bible. I hope that you will make moral intelligence the core of your life as a parent and of the education of your children. Because if you do, guaranteed success.